Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So Barack Obama is speaking in Wisconsin right now, a state that they consider to be their blue firewall. And J.D. Vance is speaking as well. Fox decided to dip into Obama, but now they're out of it, thank God. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. And now Fox is on with J.D. Vance in Arizona. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Scioli. They probably got a lot of hate messages in the 5 minutes that they had Obama on, I can imagine. I don't even think it was that long. It was probably 3 minutes. But anyway, we got a lot to get to and chat about. Let me just read you a couple quick tweets because I'm still monitoring X. We have our YouTube chat going as well. And please join in the fun. YouTube.com, 1210WPHT. But just a couple. Kerry Nelson said, Rich, I'm confused. Why would Jen, the Democrat, hate Matt laughing in the background? Aren't they the party of joy? It's a great question. Wonderful question. And the greater Chris said, I'm the lunatic, right? I know you're talking about me. I hear you and your little partner laughing about me like six-year-old boys. Thanks, darling. LOL. And Mary Boone on X said, her campaign said recently she changed her opinion on fracking, but didn't say from what to what. So confusing. Yes, I agree. Very confusing indeed. And Johnny Cook sent me a story that I love from NPR, which is beyond parody. U.S. intelligence officials say Russia is behind attempts to smear Tim Walz. Let me tell you something. It's not Russia who's behind attempts to smear Tim Walz. It's Tim Walz. He does it all by himself, okay? All he has to do is go out on stage and flail his arms like Richard Simmons and give that creepy vibe, that keep away from your kids vibe. And he does that. Russia has nothing to do with that, all right? Russia is not making him flail like a giant goofball, and they didn't make him put tampons in boys' bathrooms either. But yet, NPR, which you pay for with your taxpayer dollars, says Russia was behind salacious false claims against Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz. Ooh. Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly it. He used to be really cool and an alpha male, and then Russia turned him into a gigantic Midwestern doofus beta who gives everybody the heebie-jeebies and goes on The View in an attempt to win over men. Yeah, that was Russia. Russia set up that interview on The View. They're like, comrade, we can get him, we can ruin his campaign. I can't do a good Russian accent, but yeah, we'll ruin his campaign. We'll set him up on The View to appeal to male voters. And he got there and he's like, damn it. Obviously, this is Russia, because who in their right mind would book a man to go on The View trying to win over men? Let's dip in a little bit here to J.D. Vance and listen to what he's saying right now in Arizona.
Donald Trump is going to lower your taxes, and we're going to punish the companies back that are shipping American jobs overseas.
We're going to build more right here in the United States of America.
Has said explicitly that she wants to give Social Security and Medicare benefits to people who don't have the legal right to be in this country in the first place. And that would bankrupt our country faster than anything, is giving these benefits to people who don't deserve to be in the United States in the first place. And I remember this came up during the debate. You know, Tim Walz said, well, you know, we're not mad, and we want to be compassionate for immigrants. We want to be compassionate for everybody. Look, I don't disagree with that. I agree that we ought to be compassionate, but our compassion as American leaders belongs first to American citizens and people who have the legal right to be here. And my friends, there is nothing compassionate about bankrupting our country by giving benefits to people, rewarding people for breaking our laws to enter the country in the first place. So, to every person who has come into the country illegally under Kamala Harris's leadership, Kamala Harris wants to roll out the red carpet, give free health care and housing benefits. Donald Trump has a different idea. Donald Trump's plan is pretty simple. In 4 months, pack your bags because you're going back to where you came from. Yeah. Now, here's the problem, and here's what the media never talks about when it comes to illegal immigration. They talk about compassion, and of course, we want to be compassionate to everybody, but you know one way you're not compassionate is when you encourage Mexican drug cartels to engage in sex trafficking, many times of literal children. It is not compassionate to open the border and allow the Mexican drug cartels to get rich by selling poison to our citizens. It is not compassionate to allow the Mexican drug cartels to sex traffic children into the United States of America, and it is not compassionate to allow hundreds of thousands of American citizens to die of fentanyl overdoses. Our message to Kamala Harris is yes, we are a compassionate people, which is why we want to secure the damn border, and the only way we're going to do it is if we elect Donald J. Trump. So we're gonna actually take some questions from the reporters here, and I know we've got a lot of local reporters, and we're gonna focus. No, the local reporters are good. We're gonna start with the local reporters, but I want to leave you with just a couple of final thoughts here. First of all, the state of Arizona, the difference in 2020 was 11,000 votes. 11,000 votes. Okay. So what we need to do, and you hear Donald Trump say it all the time, is we need to swamp the vote in the United States of America, and that starts right here in Arizona. So, a few things I'm going to ask you for. Number one, I see a lot of you are taking photos. By all means, you know, pull out your phones, take a photo, take a selfie of yourself or your friends and your family here at this event. Just do it very slowly. The Secret Service gets very nervous when I tell people to, you know, pull your phones out of your pocket, but post on social media, send a text message, send an email, let people know why you were here, but most importantly, let people know why you want Donald J. Trump to be the next president of the United States of America. That people power, that person-to-person engagement, my friends, that's how we're going to win this election. We're never going to get a fair shake from Kamala Harris or her media allies, but we can tell the truth to one another. So get out there and talk to every single person you can about the importance of saving this country. And the best way to do it over the next couple of weeks is to get people out there to vote for Donald J. Trump and all of our great candidates here in the state of Arizona. That's the first request that I'm going to make of you. Second request is go to this website, swampthevoteusa.com, and I'll repeat it, swampthevoteusa.com. What you can do with that website is check your registration, check where you're able to vote, check your polling location, and also get some tips on how to encourage your friends and family to get out there and vote. Because again, this is a lot of fun, and I like being here, but we're not going to be able to do the good job we need to do for the American people unless you do your job and get out there and vote. And the third request I'm going to make is I want every single person in this audience to get out there and vote for Donald Trump 10 times. Now, I know, we're Republicans. We only vote once. We do it the legal way. Here's the legal way. The New York Times is going to report tomorrow. J.D. Vance encourages voter fraud in
Not tomorrow. They're going to report it in about five
but
minutes.
The way to get out there and vote 10 times legally is to take yourself to the polls and take 9 people along with you. That is how we can vote 10 times. The legal way. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to go swampthevoteusa.com. I want you to talk about why you're voting for Donald Trump, especially on social media. And I want you to commit to getting 9 people out there to the polls. Because here's the scenario that I want you to consider. And I don't mean to give you nightmare fuel here, but I'm going to do it. We wake up on November the 6th, and Kamala Harris has barely elected president of the United States by a 700-vote margin in the state of Arizona. Think about that and ask yourself what you can do from now until then to make sure it doesn't happen. That if there's a Kamala Harris, put that sign up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, she did. She's already trying to steal the 2024 election right here in this beautiful facility. But look, We get out there and we got to make sure that if this election is as tight as it could be, that we're the ones who are on the winning side and not them. And the only way to do it is to work our rear ends off for the next 2 weeks. God bless you all. Thank you. We'll take some questions from the press, but I appreciate y'all and I appreciate your hard work on our behalf. God bless you. All righty. Thank you, thank you. The fun is not over yet. We'll take some questions from the reporters before we hit the road. I think we got a microphone, sir. We'll start with you. Thank you, man.
Hey, Senator Vance. This is Sean Rice from 12 News. When these folks...
Could we turn the mic up a little bit?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yeah.
This is Sean Rice from 12 News here in Phoenix. When these folks hear rising inflation, what do you think is causing rising inflation? And what tangible steps will the Trump-Vance administration do to lower it for all the folks in this room?
Yes, sir. First of all, I really appreciate that question because the number one issue on the minds of Americans is how to make life more affordable again. And that question goes right to the heart of it. And I hate to say it, but so many of your colleagues in the media are obsessed with talking about what happened 4 years ago or some fake scandal. The job of the media is to educate the American people on the issues that matter most by asking good questions. So I appreciate asking about an issue the American people talk about. So here's the big thing, okay? You have two major drivers of inflation over the last 3.5 years. And as much as Kamala Harris brags and says inflation is over, do any of us in this room feel like inflation is over? No, because it's not. Two big things. Number one, when the government prints trillions of dollars, that makes the dollars that we all have less worth it, right? They become more and more worthless the more and more the government prints. Well, why is the government printing trillions and trillions of dollars? Because Kamala Harris cast the deciding vote on trillions and trillions of dollars in new spending. So Donald Trump, when we're in the White House, we're going to focus on America as a federal government living within its means. We're not going to print as much money, and we're going to make life more affordable for American citizens in the process. That's the number one thing that we can do. But here's the second thing, right? And I think a lot of people don't realize that the cost of energy is an important part of the cost of everything. Think about it. If the truck driver who's delivering the groceries to the grocery store is paying 45% more for diesel, and he is under Kamala Harris's leadership, then we're all paying more for groceries. If the guy delivering the lumber to the job site is paying 50% more for gasoline, then we're all paying more for housing. So if we want to lower prices for American citizens, we have got to unleash the American energy economy. We got to be energy dominant. That's the best way to lower prices for all of us. So look, the President Trump plan is very simple. We're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to stop printing money we don't have, and that is going to make the American dream affordable for American citizens once again. Thank you for the question.
J.D. Vance, second questions here.
With Fox 10. So right now, if you look at national polling and polling in the swing states, it's razor thin,
right,
within the margin of error. Most people have already decided who they're going to vote for. Some people have already voted, and there's very few undecided. So what is the strategy to get across the finish line?
You know, you're right that there aren't that many undecided voters, but there are a lot of undecided voters. I mean, you know, I think we could win Arizona by a few points, or we could lose it by a very tiny margin. And the question is, when you've got 5% of the electorate that has still not made up their mind, that is a big, big number with margins that are as tight as they are in Arizona and a lot of the other battleground states. And I think my message to folks who are undecided is very simple. Look, you don't have to agree with everything that I say. You don't have to agree with everything that Donald Trump says. But who can deny the results? And I'd ask those swing voters, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And I think for most of them, they would say no, because groceries are too high, rent is too high, the border has been opened, our public safety has gotten worse, violent crime has gotten worse. A lot of these problems are caused by bad leadership. And if we just get back to common sense leadership, we can have safe neighborhoods, a secure border, and an American life that is affordable for the majority of our citizens. Unfortunately, we don't have that right now. But Donald Trump's promise, and I think his solemn obligation as president of the United States, is to fix what Kamala Harris has broken over the last 3.5 years. And that's exactly what he's going to do. Let me make one more. Thank you. One more observation there. Look, I come from a family where sometimes money was very tight. I know what it means when groceries go up by 25% in 3.5 years. That means there are a lot of American families who are not getting the things that they need. When the price of energy goes up by 30, 35, 40%, that means a lot of our citizens who are choosing not to go on a vacation or choosing not to do something that they would otherwise do, again, because of bad leadership. We need to get back to common sense economic and governing principles so that the American people can afford to live a good life. That's what Donald Trump is going to do. Frankly, he already did it once before, but I think we're going to unleash, with Trump as president for a second term, a golden age of prosperity for Arizona and the whole country. But we got to get him there first. Thank you. Sir.
Hi, J.D. Vance. We talked a few weeks ago in Tucson. I'm Jose Angel from Telemundo. I want to ask you a little bit, because Donald Trump has said before that he will revoke the temporary protective status of some migrants in Ohio. And I want to ask you, what's your plan? Will you support that? The same thing for migrants in different communities, not just Haitians, Venezuelans, or Mexicans in general, that are applying for asylum, which is basically a program that is legally based. And what would you do with them, if you would revoke them or not?
Well, there are, of course, so many differences between Donald Trump's approach to the border and Kamala Harris's approach to the border. But this particular issue, I think that what Kamala Harris has done is she has used programs that are meant to help people who are escaping tyranny, and she's used it to grant amnesty to millions upon millions of people who have no legal right to be in the country, and that has to stop. Because here's what happens. Here's what happens when Kamala Harris grants millions upon millions of people legal status. Well, number one, they're entitled to housing benefits. So one, that's unfair to American taxpayers, but that also means a lot of American citizens are getting kicked out of their homes because they can't compete with the government-subsidized rent that a lot of illegal immigrants are getting. When you do this, I mean, in Arizona schools right now, we have got thousands upon thousands of children who can't even speak the local language in Arizona. Sometimes they don't even speak Spanish, of course, because we've got illegal immigrants coming from all over. What does that do to the education of American children when their teachers aren't teaching them, but they're focused on kids who don't have the legal right to be here? And again, nothing against the children, but we can't have a border policy that ruins the quality of American education. That is not compassionate to the American children that I have a responsibility to. So what Donald Trump has proposed doing is we're going to stop doing mass parole. We're going to stop doing mass grants of temporary protective status. Of course, you're going to have people fleeing from tyranny, but that happens on a case-by-case basis, not by waving the magic government wand and giving millions upon millions of people who don't have the right to be here legal status. It is a disgrace, and Donald Trump is going to stop it.
Hi, Senator Vance, Rachel Louise Jess with ABC 15 Arizona. Your campaign has been working particularly hard this election season to win over the votes of Native voters here in Arizona. Can you promise that they'll be able to have a seat at the table, potentially roles in your administration, should you get to the White House?
That's right. Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking that question. We really have done. We've tried to reach out to a lot of tribal Americans, a lot of Native Americans, and I've actually had some very good conversations with some of the tribal leadership all across our country. And I think, you know, the reason why you have, I think, Native Americans coming around to Donald Trump's candidacy, And a lot of these folks haven't voted Republican maybe in their entire lives, certainly not in many, many years, is they recognize that a wide open southern border and unaffordable groceries and rent, it hits our native communities as hard as it hits anybody else, and we've got to stop it. We've got to look out for people who have the legal right to be here. And of course, that's very true of our native citizens. The thing I promise, both for me and also on behalf of President Trump, is look, we're not always going to agree on every issue. We're not going to agree on every issue just in this room. And these are some pretty, you know, diehard folks in this room, right? But what I always promise is we're always going to listen to people, and native and tribal folks are always going to have a seat at the table, right? Because sometimes, and this has been an interesting learning experience for me, is you assume that a particular tribe is going to come out one way on an issue, and then you sit down and talk to them, and they actually have a totally different perspective than what you thought they would have had. The only way to know where folks are coming from is to actually talk to them. And that's something that Donald Trump and I really believe in, is talking to the American people. You know, one final thing on this, it's not related to the native issue in particular, but one of the things that I think really separates Donald Trump's approach to leadership and Kamala Harris's approach to leadership is Donald Trump believes in persuading your fellow citizens and not trying to censor them. And I think it's a really... You know, whether it's Kamala Harris putting pressure on big tech companies to censor her fellow citizens, whether it's calling people racist for daring to believe that we ought to actually have border security in the United States of America, Kamala Harris is obsessed with silencing her fellow citizens. Donald Trump and I believe we ought to talk to one another. And that's the best way to actually make your case to the American people, is if they disagree with you, have a conversation with them. Don't try to shut up the citizens of your own country. That is not what American leaders should do. Let's do two more questions, then we're going to have to hit the road. Sir.
Hi, Senator Vance. Wayne Shutsky with KJZZ News. We heard Mayor Beck mention the Taiwan Semiconductor Facility in North Phoenix. That facility, along with many others in Arizona, are recipients of CHIPS Act funding, which former President Trump has criticized on occasion. So my question is, if elected, what would the Trump Vance administration, how would it handle administering CHIPS Act funding moving forward?
Yeah, so I just want to be clear here that President Trump, more than any political leader of my lifetime, believes in bringing American manufacturing back to the United States of America, and that includes semiconductors. And one of the things that President Trump makes this point all the time, is that part of the leverage that communist China has over us is that they control the market for semiconductors, for computer chips, which, you know, computer chips are in everything, right? They're not just in our phones, they're in our cars, they're in our laptops, they're in our refrigerators. We have got to make more of this stuff in the United States of America, and we're thrilled about the expansion of operations in Arizona. That's a very good thing. President Trump, what he has criticized sometimes is the administration under Kamala Harris's leadership, the way that we try to force these companies. Look, give you two options. Option one is we say we need to do more chip manufacturing in the United States of America. Let's lower energy costs and let's encourage businesses to produce as many chips in America as possible. That's option A. That is what Trump thinks that we should be doing, encouraging more manufacturing. What you've seen under Secretary Raimondo and Kamala Harris is them trying to say that you're only going to get money to manufacture chips if you do what we want you to do politically. And I think that's not a way to run an economy in this country. I frankly don't care if you agree with us on this political issue or disagree with us. So long as you're paying your workers a good wage and building a great American product, Donald Trump and I will be on your side. That will happen every single day of our administration. But this thing you see with Kamala Harris, where she says we're going to hold your government funding hostage unless you agree with our politics. You see this in the banking sector, them trying to say we're not going to allow you to open a bank account if you don't agree with us. You see this with social media. We're not going to allow you to have a social media company unless you toe the progressive line. We want American business to build great products. Cut out the political BS. Let people do what they want to do. And if you disagree with them, talk to them about it. Don't try to shut their business down. Final question.
Dennis Welch with CBS 5 and 3 TV. A simple question. We're 2 weeks away from... Got a lot of fans here, as you can hear.
Just one. I just heard one. Yeah. That's okay. Go ahead, Dennis.
We'll end with this question. The election is 2 weeks from today. I'm not going to be asking you about 4 years ago, but from what you've seen, from what you've learned, are you confident in the Arizona election system, and are you going to accept the results moving forward?
Well, look, I think that we're in a better place than we were in 2020. And I think that what we're going to keep on working on over the next couple of weeks, I mean, you saw this even in 2022, where some of the voting machines in Maricopa went down on election day. Now, whether you think that was just incompetence or something else, it's not okay. We want every legal ballot to be cast and to be counted in the United States of America. So we're going to keep on fighting for election integrity. But look, Dennis, sitting here today, are we going to get this perfect? Of course we're not going to get it perfect, but we're doing a hell of a lot better in 2024 than we were in 2020. So the best message that I can give is to get out there and vote through whatever method makes the most sense. And look, I'm one of these guys. I don't love election season. I like election day. But as President Trump said, it is what it is. And if we're going to have early voting and mail-in voting and election day voting, then we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to vote. Get out there and make your voices heard. And yes, I think we're going to have a good election in Arizona in 2024. Let me, if I can, offer just one final thought here, and then we're going to have to hit the road, unfortunately. I want you. I'll be back. Don't worry. You'll get sick of me in the next 2 weeks. Look, I want you to think of really what this election is about. And I think those of us who care a lot about politics, you know, sometimes it's red jerseys versus blue jerseys. It's really, we really want to beat the Democrats. And of course, we do really want to beat the Democrats. And it's going to be very fun to beat Kamala Harris on November the 5th. Trust me, I'm going to be as happy as anybody. But the goal here is to beat the Democrats in the service of solving the country's problems, problems that have been caused by years of Kamala Harris's broken leadership, not just as vice president, but over many, many years. I think she keeps on making bad decisions for the American people, and we want to take away her ability to do that. We want to get to a point where Kamala Harris's bad decisions is something she can deal with, not that 330 million of our fellow citizens have to deal with, right? That's what the election is all about. But let me give you just a couple of examples of what happens when our leadership is not doing a good job. So the first is I met a woman when I was campaigning a few weeks back, and she's a retiree, and her husband is about to be a retiree, but he's still got a couple years left in his working life, and they're raising their grandparents who are raising their grandchildren because their daughter died of a fentanyl overdose. And they were telling me about a ritual, and these are the family rituals that make life worth living, that for 40 years, in good times and bad, they would do steak night on Friday night. And that was their thing. And I'm not talking about going to a fancy steakhouse. I'm talking about going to a grocery store and buying a nice steak and grilling it out, and they did it every Friday. They stopped doing it about a year ago because under Kamala Harris's rising grocery prices, they just can't afford anymore with their grandkids that they're raising. They couldn't afford to do steak night anymore. And think about what it means for a family to sacrifice a little ritual like that after 40 years of doing it, and then to be deprived of that thing. These are the things that actually make our life worth living. And one of the things that we're trying to do is build an economy that is prosperous enough where if you work hard and play by the rules, you can enjoy to have steak night on a Friday night. That's what we want for every single one of our citizens. Now, I know very personally, actually, because I grew up in a family, again, that didn't always have a whole lot of money. And I know this is maybe not as big of an issue in Arizona as it is in Ohio. But I remember when it got really cold and money was especially tight, my grandmother would sometimes say, you know what, we're going to throw a few extra blankets on the bed. We're not going to turn on the heating tonight because we can't afford it. And I think that in a country with as unlimited the energy resources that we have, we ought to fight for the right of every citizen. So again, so long as they work hard and play by the rules, every single one of our citizens should be able to heat their home in the middle of a cold winter night. But that has gotten harder. That's gotten harder because energy prices are 45% higher than they were 3.5 years ago because Kamala Harris has gone to war on the American energy sector. So when we go out there for the next 2 weeks, as we're getting our friends to vote, as we're helping our friends get to the polls, as we're talking to people about why we want to make Donald Trump the next president of the United States, just remember, we're out there every single day fighting for the right of our citizens to have steak night on a Friday night. We're fighting for the right of our citizens to be able to turn on the heating in the middle of a cold winter night. We are fighting for peace and prosperity for the American people, and that's why we're getting out there and making Donald Trump the next president of the United States. Let's do it together, my friends. We got 2 weeks to go. Let's make it happen. God bless you. I love you, Arizona. We'll be back soon.
All right, that was Senator J.D. Vance doing a live campaign rally, which we streamed for you live on YouTube. Good job, Kirk, with that. Excellent stuff. All right, we'll continue along with the show here, but I want to tell you about my friend and dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria. Veneria Dental. Dr. Mike is not only a master of implant dentistry, he's been voted a top dentist in New Jersey for 12 consecutive years by his peers. He's also a man that cares about the community and gives back to our veterans. That's why every year around Veterans Day, he does a free Veterans Breakfast and Community Shredding event. So join him at his Cinnaminson office on Saturday, November 9th. He's going to have a wonderful breakfast and also say thank you to our veterans. And you can bring those documents you want to have shredded. Say hello to Dr. Mike and meet the team. It's always a great time, a lot of fun. Dr. Mike is a wonderful dentist. He's my family's dentist, and he's the master of implant dentistry. So if you need a new smile, if you need a complicated dental procedure, Dr. Mike Veneria is your guy. And not only does he have an office in Cinnaminson, where his Veterans Breakfast is going to be, he also has one in Woodbury, New Jersey as well. And it's worth the trip over the bridge because he's the best there is. So if you need complicated dental work, go see him today. Just go to VeneriaDental.com or give his office a call at 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Get a free dental implant consultation, and you'll see exactly why it is that so many people really love going to Dr. Mike. Great team, great music playing in the office. And he gives back to his community. So make your appointment today, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Keep those YouTube requests coming. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it very much. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, the master of implant dentistry, named top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. Schedule your free implant consultation today by calling 856-786-2020. Listen, Elon Musk, you know his companies have faced at least 20 federal probes. I played you a clip yesterday of Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro dodging the question about whether or not Musk should be investigated for offering people a chance to win $1 million if they register to vote. Not buying votes, register to vote. You win a chance to get $1 million. His money, wants to give it out as a contest, but now they want to go after him for that too. They hate Elon Musk so much. His companies, according to the DailyWire.com, have faced at least 20 federal investigations and reviews in recent years. We talk about the obvious stuff of the authoritarian police state that has become this country. But this is kind of less obvious, which is that they use the bureaucratic investigative machine to make life a living hell for you if you get out of your lane. And that's what they do. And sometimes they indict you. Sometimes they just make your life miserable. They just make it cumbersome and bureaucratic. And, you know, the pain in the ass regulators always find a way. Tesla and SpaceX especially have faced heavy scrutiny, red tape, and fines over the course of their operations. These two companies also contract heavily with the federal government. Last year, Musk's company secured nearly $3 billion across 100 contracts with 17 federal agencies. The Times, the New York Times, declared Musk's influence over the federal government is extraordinary and extraordinarily lucrative, although it acknowledged that his companies are, quote, from the far right wing New York Times, increasingly facing regulatory battles and overlapping federal investigations from all corners of the government. This all goes back to when he first had the Twitter files revealed with Matt Taibbi. And don't forget what happened to Matt Taibbi. Somebody, you know, knocked on his door from the IRS the day that he was set to testify at the House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Government. But there were a number of reporters who released those files. They were also investigated. And that's really when all of this began. He's faced FCC investigations, FEC investigations, and others. SpaceX has been slapped with violations and fines by both the Transportation Department and the Environmental Protection Agency. It was also slapped with a discrimination lawsuit by the Justice Department and accused of OSHA violations by the Labor Department. The Department of the Interior also conducted a review of Starbase, the company's rocket launch facility in Texas. And the Federal Communications Commission rejected subsidies for Starlink, the company's satellite internet network. That, of course, resulted in our government wasting billions of dollars on broadband cables that they never built, never laid. And then when the hurricane hit, Hurricane Helene in North Carolina and Georgia, they had to have Elon Musk with emergency use to get Starlink up and running. Had Starlink been up and running in the first place, people's lives could have been saved. So there's also a human toll to the bureaucracy and the police state tactics of our government. The bottom line, which confirms a longstanding Zuli axiom on this show, which you know if you've been listening since day one, if the government wants to get you, the government will find a way to get you, period. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime, that's it. And it doesn't always have to be a big hoopla with an indictment and marching out in front of the cameras at the courthouse. It could be stuff like this, where you get, and sometimes this is even worse, because there's really there's less due process with this than there is if you get in a federal indictment and you have to go to court. This stuff is pain in the ass regulators who come and make your life hell, and they don't stop coming. And there's very little due process around that, unless it ever leads to a criminal charge of some sort. It's just a matter of them just doing their job as regulators. Tesla, at one point loved by the left for making the electric vehicle accessible by mere mortals, has been under investigation by three entities: the Justice Department, Transportation Department, and the Securities and Exchange Commission. The electric car company has also been hit with OSHA violations by the Labor Department and has faced oversight by the National Relations Board. Tesla was also hit with a lawsuit by the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, and it also saw enforcement actions from the EPA, among others. Neuralink, which is Musk's brain implant company, was fined by the Transportation Department and saw an investigation by the Agriculture Department. X, formerly known as Twitter, which Musk bought 2 years ago, has seen investigations and a court order from the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as oversight and a consent decree from them as well. Musk has openly expressed frustrations with the heavy regulation of his companies. Last week, he filed a lawsuit against a California regulator that cited his politics in their decision to reject more SpaceX rocket launches. It is illegal for them to make decisions based on what they, mostly wrong, think are my politics, Musk said, yet here they are, shamelessly breaking the law. This election cycle, Musk has thrown the full weight of his financial power and celebrity behind former President Donald Trump, even campaigning with Trump in person earlier this month. The tech mogul has also hosted multiple town halls by himself to promote Trump in Pennsylvania. He's offered to head up a government efficiency commission under a potential second Trump administration to slash bureaucratic waste. However, because of all the federal oversight of his companies, Musk has an enormous conflict of interest, according to the New York Times, although the outlet acknowledged that Musk's formal power would be quite limited, as historically Congress has refused to agree to ideas from business outsiders like Elon Musk. But a suggestion from Mr. Musk could still be damaging to an agency if he singled it out to President Trump as an example of waste or mismanagement. The Times warned readers to make them very, very scared of what could happen. Here's cut number 10. Elon Musk on Saturday saying that the United States government forced SpaceX to study if starships hit whales and sharks. And remember, they don't care if wind turbines or anything around wind turbines kill whales and dolphins. In fact, we're told by NOAA that they don't. Without any investigation whatsoever, we're just told that, so that's the end of it. However, to bust his chops, they decided to make him go forward with this. Cut number 10.
SpaceX had to do the study to see if Starship would hit a shark. And I'm like, it's a big ocean, you know. There's a lot of sharks. It's not impossible, but it's very unlikely. And said, well, you have to, you know, this is, I think, from National Marine Fisheries, one of the, you know, NIMF, it's called. You know, they were like, well, you have to do the study on whether you can hit a shark. We're like, what? We said, okay, fine, we'll do the analysis. And then, well, can you give us the shark data? They're like, no, we can't give you the shark data. We're like, okay, well, then we're a bit of a quandary. How do we solve this difficult, this shark probability issue? They said, we could give it to our Western division, but we don't trust them. And I'm like, am I in a comedy sketch here? And they're worried about the shark density data, like the people who hunt sharks for shark fins somehow getting their hands on this shark density, the shark data. And so eventually, I think we got the data and we could run the analysis to say, like, yeah, the sharks are going to be fine. But they wouldn't let us proceed with launch until we did this crazy shark data. And then we thought, okay, now we're done. And they said, but what about whales? I'm like, when you look at a picture of the Pacific, what percentage of the surface area of the Pacific do you see as whale? Because look at a picture, I don't see any, it's like, you can't, where's the whale? And honestly, if the ship did hit a whale, it's like, honestly, that whale had it coming, because it's like the odds are so low. You know, it's like Final Destination, the whale edition. It's like fate had it in for that whale, you know. And so we have to do the whale analysis. And it's like, okay, yeah, the whales will be fine too, you know. It goes on and on. And then they're like, well, what if the rocket goes underwater, then explodes, and then the whales have hearing damage? Like, this is real. This is actually, and we're like, look, if we could make a rocket go underwater and be a submarine, that would be like a feat of physics we could not accomplish, okay? This is not how it works. So anyway, just one like crazy thing after another you know, so this is why I'm really feeling the pain of the overregulation.
But that's what they do. They bust your chops. By the way, your rocket goes in the water, sharks in the water, our shark. Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. I'm sorry. I'll stop. But, you know, they don't care if the wind turbines or the exploration of where they're going to do the wind turbines or the sonar mapping, if that causes the whales to go deaf or freak out or I don't care about that. It's all about busting his chops. Just like how the Wall Street Journal reported that the Federal Trade Commission demanded that Twitter, this is back in 2023, turn over internal communications related to owner Elon Musk and detailed information about layoffs and other business decisions as part of a wide-ranging investigation into the company. And they were also seeking to depose any of the journalists who were writing about the Twitter files as well. And the House Judiciary Committee, and they looked into this, they were trying to figure out and saying there's no logical reason why they need to analyze all of Twitter's personal communications and decisions other than they just wanted to bust chops and also go after those journalists as well because they dared to cross them. Now, here is a clip from today, ABC's Wang. Hey, Wang. Repeatedly complaining to KJP about Elon Musk. This is Zhijia Wang from ABC, or Selena Wang, excuse me, talking about how shouldn't Elon Musk be investigated here? This follows, of course, from Sunday's Meet the Press, where Kristen Welker was asking Governor Josh Shapiro about this, and Shapiro was dodging the question. But I keep coming back to the fact that it's his money. I mean, people are like, oh, it's dark money. It's not dark money. It's his money. If he wants to give it away, he's the right to give it away. So now, so the left screams about Democrats, or I should say rich people not paying their fair share. Then when rich people want to give away their money, they're like, you can't do that. This is from today. Take a listen.
Elon Musk is pledging to give away $1 million every day up until the election to voters in battleground states. Some experts are saying this is clearly illegal vote buying. Does the White House believe what he's doing is illegal?
So I'm going to have to refer you to the FEC. I'm not going to comment from here.
Can you talk about how the president's reacting to this in terms of, does he believe it's appropriate? Does he agree with what Governor Shapiro is saying about how this needs to be investigated?
I will leave it to Governor Shapiro and the legal authorities to speak to this. I'm just not going to speak to it from here. I would have to leave it to FEC.
And if you could just talk broadly about what Trump has also said about making Musk the head of a new government efficiency commission. Does the White House see that as a conflict of interest, given the fact that Musk's companies have so many contracts with government agencies and potentially given the power to regulate the agencies that hold sway over his own companies?
Well, since that's a campaign-related item there, what they're planning to do next or what it looks like under and their platform for his campaign, I'm just not going to respond to it from here.
Any reaction from the president or White House about Elon Musk's role at this moment in the political discussion?
I have no response, no comment on that at this moment.
They hate him. They hate him so much. I mean, remember, I played you the clip of Jason Bateman, who's a very good actor, but he said he sold his Tesla because he feels like the whole thing is a giant Trump sticker. And I made the joke Saturday night on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon. I said, the left hates Elon Musk, hates Teslas, and I wouldn't be surprised if they hate McDonald's now, too. I mean, the fact that they'll have a jail Elon Musk bumper sticker on the back of a Tesla now is just amazing of the times we live in. But this whole segment should prove beyond a shadow of a doubt the government has the ability to bust chops in so many different ways. You know, and you think on the local level, it's the, like I always talk about, the health inspector comes in and goes, you know, not for nothing, but this gob of ghouls, like, you know, one centimeter above the temperature, nice place you got here, be a shame if I shut it down. Mayor's having a big ball Saturday night. You want to buy some tickets. It's that on a micro level, and it's this on a macro level in terms of the government just saying, well, we've got all these regulatory agencies. Who's our enemy? Oh, Elon Musk? Well, sick him. And that's what they do. And if you poke around enough, you're going to find something. If you poke around enough, you're going to find something. It's like there was even an article about that particular McDonald's that Trump went to, and they're like, well, the Board of Health cited him for this, the Board of Health cited him for that. You send in a health inspector, and they're going to find something. That's their job. That's why that's how they keep their job. What keeps restaurants from keeping people safe, or I should say this, let me rephrase that. What keeps restaurants from getting the public sick is that they want people to come back to their restaurant. It's not that they're afraid of the health department. It's not that they're afraid of health inspectors. It's that they're afraid of getting customers sick and losing their business. So are mistakes happen? Yes, mistakes happen. But the notion that, oh, without the Board of Health, they'd be back there, you know, not washing their hands and spitting on food and trying to get their customers sick. I mean, no, of course not. Their goal is to make sure customers enjoy their food and come back and not get sick and die. All right, quick break. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you. Brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.